Talk about you ought to know better. Is there anything, to be an analytical and math-minded person as I am, is there anything any dumber than dumping a bunch of money gambling? That is the absolute dumbest thing that I absolutely should have known better.
Yeah.
There is zero explanation or excuse for that. You could pick any other job, any other profession, any other skill set in the world, and maybe you could let the gambling slip by you. A financial advisor, for heaven's sakes?
I know many a pastor that has ruined their lives and ruined their ministry. Of all the ones that should know better, they end up doing something.
Because there's an arrogance to it that I thought I was just smart enough to be.
How dumb is it?
But
I can do this.
Yeah. The bigger problem is probably like the market's trading and stuff like that. I was a really aggressive trader too. That was the precursor to my blackjack.
You're checkers. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of the process.
Do I need to? We've got a business meeting next week, right?
Yes, yeah, so Wednesday the 18th.
Is it just one item?
Well, one small item, and hopefully we're going to be able to have one other item. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be presenting a bylaws change that's just like one sentence. Yeah. And then the other thing we're going to do is we were hoping to have a quote in hand so that now we could proceed with finish strong or finish faithfully and be able to tell folks, all right, here's the quote.
I don't have to have anything.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
If I don't have to, I don't think you got to.
I don't think you got to, brother.
So if that's like... That's what I was thinking, but sometimes Melick calls me.
Yeah, I think it's just
day before. What are you going to talk about?
Hey, no, it's supposed to. Yeah, I think it's because it's we've kind of listed as just one, two little small impromptu.
Okay, that's great with me. I'm
just
good.
Really to cover that and to say, all right, here's what we need to do.
Okay, I'm good.
I hope we're going to get that quote. If we don't, I'm going to be. I don't know what we're going to do. I'll get together and we'll play charades that Wednesday night. This is the business meeting. Y'all guess what I'm acting out.
So you got some training today, huh?
Yeah, what time do you have to leave?
2:00. I got to be back in this meet room at 2:00, so.
Okay, it's here. You're not having to leave for it.
Nah.
I'm coming in hot today. I thought I
hope it's here.
That's where you're going to be.
It's somewhere else. Well, we'll have to reschedule.
I thought we were good for 12:30 today, and then I realized, like yesterday maybe, that Gabe had open gym at Hilltop from 10 to 12. So I had to get to Hilltop by 12, get him back to my place.
Are they still in school?
No, they're out, but he had basketball open gym and workouts.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there was a camp we had thought about, or I'd asked him about. Heather had said, you know, might be a good thing for him to do. And I talked him into it. I was like, do you want to do this? He's like, I don't know. It's like 10 in the morning to 9 at night, and it's a long day. I said, well, you keep saying you want to be good. I'm not saying you have to, but I just want you to know that all good players do this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I get him talked into it, and then I look at it, and it wasn't at Hilltop. It's at Raleigh Christian, which is like 30 minutes away, and then I backpedaled real fast. I said, I don't think you need to do this, actually. It's too far from Dad.
that's the thing about basketball, any sport, really, but basketball especially, and golf, you got to play.
Any sport, nowadays especially.
Yeah. Is that Harnett County shirt?
Harnett Central, it sure is.
You get this free?
I did. I got several free.
Who you know over there?
Well, I was a chaplain there for 10 years.
Give you a lot of free
football
swag.
Team. And
I was just wondering.
It probably cost us a whole lot because considering all the meals we cooked, it ain't a free shirt, but it's a free shirt.
I came very close showing up in Gen Force today.
It wouldn't have bothered me.
It really
wouldn't have.
I was cutting it real close.
Well, I was.
And most of the T-shirts I wear are really under T-shirts.
Right.
They don't have anything on them. I mean, you wear them with the, dress.
White T-shirt?
Yeah, but they're colored.
Oh.
I don't mind wearing a white T-shirt. But Renee gets on me on that. That's why I have them.
Renee stays on you about a few things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I used to wear white T-shirts all the time. They just get dirty quicker, so I do.
Yeah, they do, man. They do get dirty real.
That is a T-shirt.
Good thing about being married to Kenny is your kids never grow up. You always get an opportunity.
She's been a mother for how many years?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the Other One Six Center,
buddy. Happy Father's Day to you guys.
Happy Father's Day to you. It is coming up this week. It's early this year. This is the earliest Father's Day can fall. June 15th is the first. That's the earliest.
No, I didn't know that. Second Sunday of
third Sunday. Okay. So the 15th is the earliest.
Oh, third Sunday. It's third Sunday. Okay, yeah.
So the second Sunday would be the latest it could go.
No, it's always the third Sunday.
It could be the 15th.
If it was the second Sunday, which is what you said first,
right.
How late could it be? The
14th.
Yeah. So, okay.
There's your Kenny trivia for
the earliest would be the 8th, right?
Right.
There you go. Now we know.
I just didn't know.
And no one
have you been wondering why it might be. Never was on the 8th, or since you said it was second Sunday?
I just know it's always that about right in that same spot, third Sunday.
Right in the center. That's all. Yeah, that's about what I didn't know it was second or third, really.
Yeah, it's the third, and it's always, I guess Mother's Day is always the second Sunday of May.
Second Sunday in May.
Father's Day is the 3rd of June. It always falls right around Gay's birthday. Gay's birthday is next Thursday.
Yes, it is.
So,
it's the biggest cookout day of the year.
Is it? Are you sure about that?
Memorial 2nd.
We have a Father's
July
Day
July 4th
or Juneteenth?
And 1st.
No, everybody's on the beach.
No, they're cooking out.
On the beach. Most of them nowadays are on the beach. They go to restaurants.
I cooked out when I was down there.
Well, you're the exception. I mean, you still follow the rules. Nobody else is following the rules anymore.
And so Father's Day is the biggest cookout day, for real.
Google it.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Don't test this man's knowledge.
But back to the other 167. If you looked it up, I'll believe you.
No, I actually was told that, but I haven't Googled it.
Oh, there we are. There we are.
Going off.
Yes.
I did not write any notes on your sermon.
Wow. Sunday. Well, I appreciate that.
I couldn't see. But I did sit up close to where I could see you.
You could hear me.
I could see you in here.
Oh, okay. Even with the bad eye?
I closed one eye. I looked at you.
Are the doctors thinking that's going to reverse itself or something?
I'm going tomorrow right after donuts with dad or dad for donuts.
Yeah, daddy donuts. Yeah, daddy D's
donuts. Is that a week here? I've got to start reading the messages. I've got to do a better job of that.
Yeah. It might help.
What time is it?
7:30 to 9?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just drop you off and hang out.
It's when you drop off.
Okay.
It ain't no.
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing special. I'm up at 7. I'll be here about 7:45.
Yeah. I'll be on an airplane, so I won't be able to help
you. But if you get here at 7:30, you might not be here at 7:30. I might not be there.
I promise I won't be here at 7:30. I'm usually more of an 8:45.
I don't know.
You don't have to do anything different.
Never done with the Pequot traffic.
Oh, that's terrible.
42, man. It's crazy. They're working on three places.
And then if you went, because there's right here, too.
Yeah,
that's awful.
I drive from my house to the church enough times at enough different times a day that I can about tell you to the minute how long it's going to take me, depending on what time it is. And it's funny because for this, you'll be here at 12:30, 1 o'clock. I need about 13 to 15 minutes spending on stoplights.
Right.
Okay. But at 5 o'clock, when I'm picking up Christian, we're talking 35-40 minutes pretty easy.
Get it. That's right.
Yeah. It's
unbelievable.
40 minutes to get to Fuquay?
Depending on stoplights. It depends on the day.
On
it depends
Friday,
on the day.
From 10:10?
Yeah.
Dude, from 5 o'clock on Friday? I'm surprised it don't take a little longer.
I'll tell you the worst one ever.
You live over there. You live on the other side.
I've traveled it.
Oh, well, okay.
I had to take one day. I can't remember. It's been a few months. But I had driven back from Mom and Dad's that day with Christian. And then I had to take him to his mom's, which is on the other side of Fuquay from where I'm at. She's south of Fuquay.
Right.
So it was funny to me. It was 5 o'clock, lousy traffic, worse than normal. It took me an hour and a half to get him to her house and back to mine. It takes 2 hours to drive from Mom and Dad's. 150 miles from Mom and Dad's, it took about the same amount of time as 30 miles down here.
It's
crazy 5 o'clock.
It is awful.
But what I was going to say until you got me on a tangent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was listening. And you had a good sermon, something I really needed to hear. I wasn't going to text you about it because I hadn't mastered how to talk in text because it picks up everything.
Yeah, I don't trust. I spent a quarter time correcting it. Talk to text. Our Southern accent said don't work very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. So yeah. I enjoy the sermon. I'm trying to put it in practice.
I got, yeah, that's the thing.
That's, I don't enjoy putting it into practice, but.
Which part?
Well, just trusting in the Lord. The whole.
The first.
The whole. This,
yeah. The first part.
Now, they say if you close your eyes, you can hear better. Is that why you took such good notes? You maybe close your eyes so you could hear him better?
No, I just, I was just, I really wasn't even looking at you pretty much, but I was hearing it.
I wasn't looking at you either. I was sitting on the front porch with Dad listening to it. So
it's hard, for some reason, when I got it, it's hard to look up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of, I wasn't looking down. I was probably just looking at up front of the pew. Okay.
He probably don't remember where he was looking at, staring off into space.
But that was a good sermon for graduation. I thought so, anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, the last two.
I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I brought it. It was impressive.
I wasn't sure which verse to go with or where I wanted to go, but I read that and I said, you know what, if I could go back in time, I would tell my 18-year-old self or 22-year-old self, here's three things I think if you did every day, it'd make a difference.
Yes, it would. And I liked your funeral, Psalms 1.
Oh, with Mr. Corbett.
Yes, that was good. You could preach at. I mean, I know you don't usually do that on a funeral, but you could preach at just
on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Any day.
Believe me, that's one of my favorite psalms to preach. I just don't get to do it much, just because of.
Can't remember. There's a lot down.
Six.
In the pack.
It's good. And we're going to do, I've actually got, I think Psalm 1 was a top 10. Yeah, it's definitely one of the top 10 Psalms, so it should be coming out soon. If it ain't already on the countdown.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm loving it.
How many you got left?
To film, I only got like six, five, four, three, two, one. But I'm thinking about making number one a two or three parter.
You ought to film in different locations.
Well, you know, sometimes
like
we did.
Fuquay Park.
Sometimes we did.
Or, yeah.
We did, and what the we springs. Found, we did one time, we were doing, I want to say it was Memorial Day, and they had all the flags out in front of the town hall. Uh-huh. So we thought, all right, let's do it right here.
Too much traffic.
And every time I'd open my mouth, here comes a lawnmower. Here comes something. I was like, dude, let's just film it in the studio. It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You can't edit the sound.
You can try some of it, but you can't get all of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times what happens is if you're talking while the lawnmower's going, then it's hard. If you're not, if it's in a pause, if you hear something like that and you just stop talking, then you can cut that part out.
Okay.
But if you're trying to talk, it's hard to
I imagine if you got like a top tier, all kinds of Buku bucks, you probably can. They probably got machines that can do that.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, there's a
studio in Hollywood.
There's a software that I use that supposedly can take out background noise. The problem with it is when I take out the background noise, it also muffles whoever's talking. So I'm sure it's not a high-end technology, but it you can do it, but it doesn't always come out great. But
take one out there in that barn that you've been working on forever. Every time I turn around, it's working on the barn.
Yeah, working in the barn.
I mean, that thing got... That thing.
I'm getting my barn right, man.
I haven't noticed, when I go by there, I have not noticed a difference from the outside, but it must be gray.
Oh,
inside.
You wait till you see the inside.
So it's on the inside.
Every time it's, I'm sitting in my barn and
you've seen Graceland. Welcome to Barnland, baby.
Yeah. Well, the last two sermons, I've got pretty good notes on 2 weeks ago. That was an interesting Sunday. I had Sunday school that morning with Gabe's class, and Keaton, who I have not had a chance to talk to about this yet, but we'll be doing that very shortly, gave me the wrong daggone lesson. So I showed up.
No.
I mean, I had fully prepared. Yeah. I spent an hour and a half the night before getting ready for a lesson that they had done 2 weeks before that. Anyway, that was on the fly. That was a lot of fun. First time in the class with a bunch of 14-year-olds. Yeah.
Those youth, man, you can do it again next week, don't we?
That's right. I thought about doing that. I said, we're going to Patrick Mahomes this thing, just improvise it and wing it. But, you know, we talk about this sometimes that you're going to go through spells where the Lord's talking to you a lot, and there's going to be other times where he's a little bit quieter. And I had been probably in a quiet phase there for a few weeks, and I show up to church 2 weeks ago, and it just like the music starts playing and the emotion hit, and I was like, oh, it's going to be one of them days, you're back. And he was back with a lot to say. But there were a few things from the sermon. I'll get to some of the other stuff. It might get a little deeper. We'll start a little lighter. But there were one. This has nothing to do, I don't think, with what you said. I don't know what you said to make the, to trigger this, but I got a beautiful picture, I think, of the gospel in a way that I can understand, maybe.
Right.
And I don't know how well this is going to land with anybody else. It's probably something more special for me, but I'll share it, and maybe 20% of y'all might get something out of it. But I've been trying to figure out, or trying to battle back and forth with this. Okay, there's God's holiness and his power, and then there's his love, and they're not one side of the coin and the other. They both coexist at the same time. They're not a, it's not a one or the other. It's not Old Testament versus New Testament. He's both and all at the same time.
Right.
But trying to figure out how to put that into words, I think I have in my notes that it's beyond probably what we can explain. But then later in the sermon, this analogy or image or whatever you want to call it kind of came to me. So I'll share it and see where it goes. But I think on the last time we did a podcast, I talked about me and Reese playing in the best ball tournament at Sully's, the member tournament.
Right.
And I was thinking about that during the sermon, I guess, and how this might apply. It's about take in my mind, this is going to take me an hour. It'll probably take me 5 minutes, but there is some stuff to flesh out to get to the real point of this. But I was thinking about that. There were three teams in this tournament, so not a very difficult field, right? And it was one of those.
You ought to place it.
I knew we'd get a medal, you know.
We're going to be on the podium either way.
But Reese was pretty excited about it, and she said that week, like, we better win, Dad. And now, when she says we better win, for those who don't know, I think, because this is maybe important, best ball in golf gets confused with captain's choice sometimes.
Right.
Captain's choice is we all hit, pick the best shot, and go hit from there. Best ball, you play out the entire hole, count the best score.
Right.
Now, look, if she beats me on a hole, we got problems, okay?
I was going to say.
So with that format, we knew we better win means, Dad, you better play good.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, one of the other teams was two beginners, so we knew we should win. Well, we did, and I was thinking about it Sunday. I've got a picture of the scorecard when we got done. I was going to take a picture of proof of what we shot. Every single hole we counted my score, which means you could have been my partner, Reese could have been my partner, Gabe could have been my partner, that homeless guy from Walmart a few weeks ago could be my partner.
Three-legged dog.
Right. We won based on what I did.
Right.
Okay? Right. So I thought, but at the end of the day, Reese's name's on the trophy because they texted me and asked me what to put on the trophy, and I told them her names, and nobody says on that trophy who hit what shot, how much she helped, whatever. I thought that's kind of, because some of what you talked about in the sermon 2 weeks ago was that, you know, Jesus did all the work. Everything that we needed for our salvation was in him. And same thing sort of with that best ball analogy. Reese did none of the work. I did the work. She rode my coattail, whatever you want to call it. When the tournament was over and they gave us our prize, which is a Sully's hat and a gift card, they, you know, I let her go up and get it, and everybody clapped for her, and everybody was patting her on the back and stuff. She did nothing,
right.
But she got the credit for it, right? And that's us now.
I worked so hard.
Yeah, exactly. But then the second degree of this analogy is, okay, well, if Jesus did all the work, what are we supposed to do? Well, what did Reese do? She enjoyed the time together. We had a great time. She just enjoyed time with Dad, and we had a nice time, and she stayed out of my way. When it was my turn to hit, she was quiet and let me focus. And when it was her time, she did the best she could.
Right.
She didn't do very good. But as the round went on, she did get better. She didn't finish the first nine holes she had to pick up. She hit her max. By the back nine, she was getting better. So I'd tell her what to do, and she'd get a little better, and she'd work at it. So she was working and improving and listening to me and enjoying time together. And even understanding that her best efforts still weren't going to save the day or win the tournament for us, right, at the end of the day. So it's working to be the best we can, but also being, you know, humble enough to understand it's his work that we're leaning on and relying on.
Right.
And the last degree of this, and I'll shut up, is, okay, well, what are the real-world applications of this, how we get it wrong? Well, we get really hard on ourselves, and we take ourselves too seriously, and we carry around that guilt that you talked about this week, and we take on all this responsibility we don't need. Well, that's like Reese getting really, really mad over her triple bogey and thinking she blew it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if she made a 5 or a 7. Dad made a 3.
Yeah.
It does not matter, okay? And on the flip side of that, I guess we can get, you know, a little lazy what was the other side of that coin? There were two of that one.
I think it can be pride. Pride is always going to be one of the that, okay, look how good we are.
Mm-hmm.
Look how good he is.
Yeah.
Look how bad I am. I think pride's going to be one that you're going to have to face against. I think being lackadaisical, mm-hmm. that, okay, you've got it. Mm-hmm. I'll just cruise. And I think that's the biggest part. I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, Paul oftentimes writes, and he says, you know, don't just take this cheap grace and cheapen mm-hmm. it. It's not a earning this grace, but it is living a life worthy of it, since mm-hmm. you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your bodies. So there is a living up to matching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would equate it to if y'all had team uniforms,
mm-hmm.
right? But part of her duty is to wear that team uniform. If mm-hmm. she doesn't show up with that uniform, then she hadn't done her portion, even if you're the one shooting the scores. I mean, it's part of being on that team. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just face facts. Pippen and Jordan did a whole lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a, what's the coach's name out at Golden State?
Oh, Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. It was yeah. a Steve Kerr, but Steve Kerr, I hate to say it. If he had to be honest, it was Pippen and Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so knowing that is keeping, it keeps reality, one, keeps you humble, but it also, hey, you still are part of that team.
Well, another extension, I guess, of it is that the difference in my analogy here is that I thought we would win. I knew we should win. I didn't know. I definitely didn't know what I was going to shoot. I could have shot 69 or 79, and I didn't know what winning score was going to be.
Right.
I was pretty confident we'd win. Reese was pretty confident we'd win. We know Jesus' scorecard, right?
You know you won.
Now, he knows he won. It takes faith for us to know that he won, right? I could have had the knowledge that I'll shoot 65 today. Reese doesn't know that until it happens. But if you had asked Reese before we ever started that tournament, I'll let you pick anybody in here to be your partner, or I'll let you take Dad's score blind, she'd have probably taken mine.
Yeah.
She had that confidence in it. We have that same choice, except if our what our faith calls is for us to know he's already won. We don't have any uncertainties in our outcome. You want to sign your name to his card, or do you want to try to do it on your own? And so many of us, I think, say, oh, I think we can do it on our own. Or we forget we don't have to do it on our own, and I get so in my head about, what am I going to do about this? What's the right thing about that one? At the end of the day, all I got to do is listen to him. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just following that. So I don't know. Like I said, it's only going to work for the golfers, and probably only some of the golfers will even really clip it. For me, it painted the picture for me of just get out of Jesus' way and know your role, but you're not to diminish the role. My role is to enjoy the relationship with him, to grow with him, let him guide me and direct me and sanctify me. But don't take that to mean that we're eventually going to be as good as him on this side.
But there is going to be a growth, and that's good. But at the same time, and I think it is just understanding that it's only through Christ and Christ alone, and it's it. Because we like to try to basically, kind of try to prove ourselves or try to make ourselves the MVP. It's not going to happen.
Well, there was a point during that tournament that the guys in the bay next to us made the comment. I guess I could see the scoreboard or whatever, and they said it's we're basically playing 5-on-1, which
right.
And we can get so caught up in what did you make? What did I make? How can I beat you? None of the scores matter at the end of the day, right? The only ones that matter were his. But we still want to sit there and compete with one another and judge ourselves versus one another and get mad
and compare ourselves.
We don't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There was just a lot of that I got from it. And then the other half of that sermon was a lot heavier hit because I didn't know this about me until you, at one point 2 weeks ago in the sermon, you said, we're going to camp out here for a minute. I don't know if that was planned. But wherever you camped out, about the next 5 minutes, you just whacked me upside the head.
Okay, yeah.
It was, you were talking about the guilt. And
yes. Because so many people carry so much guilt.
Yeah.
That's why is I just can't get over the amount of, I'm telling you, the amount of that I talk to and work with and counsel that people just are haunted by. Guilt of maybe something they did, maybe something they didn't do, maybe something they said. It's just amazing how much guilt we will carry because we will find it, and we will. And that's one of the enemy's number one tools is to if he can make you feel guilty about something, he'll do it.
Well, and I agree with that because I've had a lot of guilt in my life. Mine was knowing the love of Christ, but not really knowing the love of Christ. knowing what he went through and dying on the cross, but not really knowing what he died on the cross.
So not appropriating it?
And I would say loosely, I loosely knew. Let me give you an illustration. Until when I watched Jesus Crucified, I think it was 1964 movie or something like that. The
Jesus film?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was. There are a lot of Jesus films, but I don't know.
But I mean, the Jesus film is Campus Crusade for Christ. Or
there's what?
Or it could be King of Kings?
Not the Jesus film. Yeah. King of Kings might have been.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the one.
That was a very popular one.
And where he's crucified wearing the crown and saw a little bit of drop of blood.
Well, it's very Hollywood, yeah.
But when I saw the Passion, that brought it into more what really happened. And probably that didn't even get it.
Yeah.
But it got a lot more than the other one. So a lot of times I don't really, I know God loves me. I know God's forgiven me. But I'm not sure that I fully can comprehend that. I really, really understand it.
Well, and no movie can capture the spiritual pain that he went
through. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, we hear about the, and of course, the cross now, people wear it around their neck. I have nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm against that. But it's kind of glorified. It wasn't glorified back 2,000 years ago. It was a shame. And now we glorify, which we probably should. I'm not saying that.
Well, and I don't know that anybody's ever going to truly understand on this side, to truly understand the sacrifice that was made. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that we preach about it every Sunday is because we'll never truly understand how great of a sacrifice it was and what he did for us. But we can get a little bit more, comprehend a little bit more, but to truly understand all of it, man, I think it's so far beyond us of what all it took for Christ to redeem us.
And then the word says, you know, you're not supposed to worry, but we worry.
Sure we do.
You're not supposed to feel guilty, but we do feel guilty. And the question is, why do we still feel guilty, even though in our mind we know that God has forgiven us? Why do we sometimes hold guilt for so long? The question, I guess the answer is, do we really have understanding of what Jesus is really saying? I mean, there's a human nature that's played into that, too.
I think it's a part of that. I think, do we truly understand what he's telling us? I think the other part is you have an enemy that would love for you to stay under guilt and the oppressiveness of it. I think the other thing is it goes back to kind of like the illustration that we were using earlier with Reese and playing golf is, well, I got to earn this or I got to work, and we can't let ourselves, we know we made a mistake, we know we really, you know, botched it up, and we hate, and we just carry that shame. And here's the other thing. I don't know why, but we as humans, we struggle to forgive ourselves.
And that's a question. Why do we struggle? And I don't know why. In a world that we have to earn everything, and we're so used to having to do this to get this, having to do this to get that, and this is free, but we're being in a world constantly where you have to earn, it's kind of hard not to, although I believe it's a free gift, but it's kind of hard not to drop back in that earning, back and forth, you know. And so that's what I meant loosely. I wish, and I'm not really talking about salvation, I'm just talking about just things in my life. I wish I could say, okay, I'm not going to worry about this forever.
But again.
But then I wake up.
Yeah.
What do I do? That's the first thing I pick up.
Yep. You know?
And so I believe it, but I don't see it. Therefore, I'm having a hard time to trust in that will happen. Because in our culture.
Now the question is, do you really believe it?
Oh, yes, you believe it.
Mm.
But you have, I mean, I believe I have salvation.
Right. I know that.
You know, I believe, but then did God really forgive me for this?
Right.
You know,
or you know, you have questions. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what I would love to do in my life. I would love to believe it and settle it on everything. I would love to be able to trust God on everything and have it settled. And I trust God on a lot of things, but not all the things. So it's hard to, and that's why I meant loosely, I would like to be able to follow the, and I do because I know it in my mind, to strictly follow the Word of God, not loosely.
Right.
But strictly, you can get into legalism in that you start working for it. It becomes a less of faith. So that's the hard thing. I mean, strictly you would be like, what are some of the scriptures? Yeah, legalism would be like Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Well, if you cut it off, that's legalism.
Right. That's stupid.
Yeah, I know. So that's what happens. We can get into legalistic things on a lot of things that the Bible says. I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but that we start working for our salvation, mm-hmm. or working for to be accepted, or working right. for to have more. Here's a big one: have more treasure in heaven. Yeah. Well, we shouldn't even worry about that. We should be working for what Christ has done for us and our love for Him. That is where I will. That's where I like to stay. Because I want to do it.
Sure.
Because what he's done for me, not because of what I'm going to receive later on.
Right.
I've got a lot to say on this, and I don't have any answers, but I've got a lot of commentary, I guess, on it, because that was a lot of what was kind of flushing through my head during that sermon, I think, as the golf analogy kind of came out. But first of all, I want to get this in before I forget it. Around Easter, I was thinking about we can't comprehend the suffering that Jesus had. And when you think about it, the fact that we can't is part of the gift of salvation, because it was ours to bear. If it weren't for him taking that, we would know very well eventually what that suffering was like. God's gift to us is that we can't comprehend that. That's profound and deep and twisted and all kinds of, but that's part. No, we can't wrap our heads around it. You're welcome from God's perspective.
Especially
the
Holy Son of God.
Yeah.
Died in my place.
Yeah. But on the guilt thing, you know, it's funny to me because I was thinking about this last night. I was ready to go to bed and I started thinking about some of these things because I had a bunch of thoughts. We've gone 3 weeks without recording.
Missed you guys.
So I was like, I need to just think on this a little bit. Well, I didn't go to bed till 3 because it started really stewing over.
You thought a little bit about it.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was funny. I thought back because of all the podcasts we've done, I guess I've listened to the first one the most because it was the first one. I've listened to it 100 times. On the first episode, I said, I've done a lot of regrettable things, but I don't have any regrets. Now, it's funny to me. I believed that when I said it. I believed it until 11:30 two Sundays ago. But when you said, it was hitting me throughout the whole, it was the first, you kind of caught me off guard with that. I don't think you sit down and single people out on purpose in your sermons.
No.
But I didn't think I had any guilt till you started talking about that, and then it kind of hit me that I have a lot of guilt that I had too much pride to recognize. Yeah. My guilt was covered up under a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize till that Sunday that I got a lot of guilt and a lot of regret. Mm-hmm. And I do need to let that go. Because at the very end, I think it was, you said, so you're doing the invitation, right? And you say, you know, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, whatever you say that. And then you said, but some of you, and you know who you are. And I'm like, really? Dude, seriously?
It's not aimed at somebody, I promise.
Again, you could aim it at the sanctuary and it couldn't hit any harder, you know. But
where did he see me?
You are.
I'm trying to did he see me down the road or something in my car?
I keep forgetting you're the only one in church who can see my face while you're preaching, right? Everybody else sees the back of my head or the side. You're actually looking right at me. I'm like, he's watching me. But
he's seeing you somewhere.
That's right. But
where you weren't supposed to be.
Yeah, he saw me wipe a tear or something. He's like, I'm hitting here. I'm digging the knife in, twisting it here. Yeah,
you know who you are.
But
Jill.
But what you said was, you've been carrying that guilt for a long time, and Jesus is saying, what are you doing that for? Yeah. I paid for that, you know. Right. And to carry that still, It's, well, then what did Jesus die for? He's taken, he paid it. Yeah. It's over, it's settled. It, you said, I wish it was settled. It is. Yeah. We just have to remember it, you know.
Well, you got to settle it. I mean, he settled it, but you got to settle it in your own mind, too, and quit bringing it back.
Well, and I fleshed this.
That's it, right there.
I fleshed this out some last night, and this is, I feel bad and guilty to say this now, really, but if I'm trying to balance it between guilt and regret, the two are very similar, but they're not the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I think I have more regret than guilt, and I probably wish it were the other way around. But I look at it now, and, you know, I'm 39. I feel like my life's about over. But, you know, it feels like it's, I'm
I think you got to waste
it. Yeah, I know. Everybody that's older than me says that, and I feel like, man, I've wasted my whole life.
Man, I'm 18 ahead of you. Yeah. You're in good shape. Exactly. Well, actually, no, 15 ahead.
But I look at my life, and I wrote down in my notes last night, I'm jealous of Gabe, because Gabe's 13, 12 years old, and he's, I'm loving watching him grow and see him, his heart for the Lord. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had figured this stuff out at that age and could have lived my entire life that way. The way you were talking about, knowing God, but not that same commitment to it. I mean, I was, the best way I could think to describe this is that from the time I was first saved to my come back to Jesus a couple, 3 years ago, if I go back and look at it now, I feel like, man, I was lost. But when I think back to specific times, there were plenty of times that I was close with the Lord's, you know, the Spirit was a part of my life during those times, just not on as consistent of a basis.
There you go.
I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, the difference is I went to the Spirit when I needed it, and it was there when I needed it. He was like my cell phone charger, not my battery. I went there to charge back up.
There you go.
But
good illustration.
Now it's, you know, he's the power source constantly. I like that. Man, I wish I'd done that the whole time. So when I look back at it now, it's like, man, I wasted. You only get, in the scheme of eternity, it doesn't matter, right? But on the scale of time on this planet, man, I wasted a bunch of years and ruined a lot of things and damaged a lot of relationships and made things harder than they had to be. And just, man, I wish so bad that I had a mulligan and could go back and do it over. But
that's regret, right?
That's regret. Now, the guilt, I say I feel bad because that's a very selfish motivation of all that regret, right? It's me. Why did my life could have been better? Yeah. The guilt is seeing now that you know that love and realizing how much you broke his heart and how much it hurt to watch me go through all that and put myself and others through all that. You know, and on so many, it's not just there's the big ones that we know, you know, the gambling and stuff like that, but it wasn't just that. It was the pride and the arrogance and the attitude and just selfishness.
And it was just missing what was simple.
Yeah.
And what was there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's what one of the things that, as far as regrets for me was, man, I had a high school and college. I had more people around me that I could have been a bigger influence for Christ. Mm-hmm. I just didn't because, high school, I got to be cool. High school, I didn't even think about living for the Lord because it was all about what I wanted. So, yeah, I have regrets there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I call it guilt as much, but it is regrets. Man, I should have really been more there.
Yeah.
And to have regrets is valid. I mean, that's a valid emotion. And I think you should
Until you let it cripple you.
Right.
Until you let it, you know, get so much in your head that, okay, now you can't move forward. Right. And some people do that. Not everybody.
I think it's a valid emotion, and I get that. What I've tried to maybe flesh out in the last few hours, because this is all, this part of it's kind of just since last night, kind of thinking through, okay, well, what's the why, right? I always going to go a little deeper with it. And on one hand, it stinks, and I wish I hadn't done it.
Hate it.
On the other hand, you know, every character in the Bible didn't have a perfect path. God used a lot of mistakes to show his power.
Sure.
And if I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. If every Christian took the Ben path of being saved at an early age, staying close with the Lord, and I know you've had your own battles, but you've not made the mistakes that me and Kenny have made and that a lot of people have. If God needs to use the me and Kenny's that screw up big to make an impact too. So not that he wanted that path.
No.
Right.
But there's things that he can do with me that he couldn't do with you. There's things that he can do with me that he can't do with me.
That's the point.
So do I regret it if it ultimately did?
I think the key is that if you come around to that point of where you're walking with him, No, I don't think you will.
Right.
If you thank him for what he did, if you never get to that point, then yeah, you probably gonna regret a whole lot more.
You thank him for what he did with it,
right?
And you thank him for the grace and the love and the mercy and all of the compassion that he showed out, and the patience. Good Lord, the patience.
Yeah.
But you don't. But you, the thankfulness and the gratitude for what he did with it should replace the guilt and the regret. Hopefully.
Well, I regret. I knew better. But I don't want to categorize that my sin is smaller than someone else's, or my sin is bigger than someone else's, because that's not how God looks at it. But the guilt that I had, that I knew better, that's what bothers me. I knew what I was doing was wrong. And so I have a guilt of more so of wasted years. That's what bothers me. And now I'm working, I'm so far behind that I'll never catch up. Knowing I could have been better than what I actually was.
So. Talk about you ought to know better. Is there anything, to be an analytical and math-minded person as I am, is there anything any dumber than dumping a bunch of money gambling? That is the absolute dumbest thing that I absolutely should have known better.
Yeah.
There's zero explanation or excuse for that. I mean, you could pick profession, any other skill set in the world, and maybe you could let the gambling curveball slip by you. A financial advisor, for heaven's sakes? That's the
When you're dumping all that money, I just wish I knew you.
I do, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it could go for anything.
That's the thing.
I know many a pastor that has ruined their lives and ruined their ministry. Of all the ones that should know better, they end up doing something.
Because there's an arrogance to it that I thought I was just smart enough to beat it.
How dumb is it? But I can do this.
Yeah. Because it wasn't just that. The bigger problem was probably like the markets trading and stuff like that. I was a really aggressive trader, too. That was the precursor to my blackjack.
I could beat the game. Checkers.
Yeah.
But I do. I think there's a word though here that we need to look at, and it's I did this with the staff this morning, and it's kind of neat how God brings everything together. Proverbs 24:16, and I apologize. I'm battling some kind of sinus infection or something, so forgive me for my nasally sound. But Proverbs 24:16. Says this: for a righteous person falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster. I think it's no matter what you've been through and how many ups and downs and everything you've been through, keep getting up. The righteous is going to keep being persistent, being resilient. I've always said this, and I think it's something that we need to kind of etch in our memory, if you will, is failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
Because there's not an athlete out there that has won a championship that started out on day one winning the championship. I guarantee you they lost several times, or they fell on their face several times before they won, because they had to learn. I mean, just like the Stanley Cup right now. There was a time when, looks like Florida's going to take it. So there was a time when those boys couldn't even skate. They had to learn.
Yeah.
And so failure is part of the process. It's not an opposite of success, but we've got to learn to be resilient. We've got to learn to trust the Lord and know that, hey, you know, if you fall down, you get back up. That's the grace of God.
And in my case, it would be coming back. I kept coming back because I thank God for, because I wasn't raised in church. My family didn't go. I thank God that I had enough training that I knew where to come back to.
Right.
Now, whether I came back for a month, 2 months, 3 months.
Well, I was going to say, was there a, and maybe the question, and I'm not trying to get in your business, Kenny, was it a complete repentance?
At the time, yes.
Okay.
But I knew there was something. You know, there's a lot of people, it's kind of like, I don't get that, but a lot of people, you know, I knew things are wrong, but other people, they do them because they really don't.
Right.
You know, I knew because of
my convictions, and the Bible says in a relationship with the Lord and what I was taught. So
you knew it was wrong.
I knew it was wrong.
Right.
That's
but,
a, but that really is worse.
But that's really what sin is.
I knew that, and I'm saying this because a lot of people that are have never been exposed to the gospel. I was exposed to the gospels. That's probably a good word to use. I knew that there was something after life.
Right.
I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I knew that he was a real person. Yeah. Some people don't know who to turn to. And I wouldn't say some. I would say majority of people. Everybody that hasn't had some form of religious background.
Right.
Don't know anything about. You know, you can see it all the time on TV. You know, there's people that, oh, it's my time to die. I'm just going to die. And that's it. And I feel sorry for those, and I feel guilty about that because maybe I could have taught somebody. I'm not saying the ones I see on TV, but the ones that I know. I could have said something to them, or I could have been a witness to them, but I never was. And so that's where a lot of some of my guilt comes from.
What you were saying earlier about legalism, too, I mean, that was another part of my Reese Best Ball analogy that I thought through a little bit too, is that the regret side is okay. When I make a triple bogey, I'll regret that and carry it for a bunch of holes.
Right.
In her case, if she makes a basket, it doesn't matter, right? In the analogy I was using, why are you on the 12th hole still mad about the stupid shot you hit on the 6th when Dad made a 4 anyway and didn't matter, right? That's not a, I mean, I'm sure it's a sin, I'm sure it's a whatever, but it's mainly just a waste of energy. Why it didn't matter, right? So why are you carrying it? Now, that doesn't mean we just don't learn from them and we don't acknowledge them and repent from them. That's a different thing.
Learn from your mistakes.
But the legalism side of it is, and this has been such an important part of my spiritual growth or what God has been teaching me over the last year, 2 years, whatever, is that legalism, what we're calling legalism, it's not, you're not doing these things to earn your salvation. I see them as, okay, the gospel and salvation and you know, that's the Reese gets to count my score. Doesn't matter what she did.
Right.
The legalism side is when I tell her you're aimed 25 yards right, she listens and aims straight because she knows that my ways are correct and hers are wrong. And she's acknowledged, she knows that I'm doing it because I want to help her. I'm telling her what to do because I'm trying to help her. When I tell her change, she always asks me, am I gripping it the right way? And I'll show her, yes, right. Yeah. The laws that he gives us, the rules, the whatever you want to call them, they are not to restrict our fun. They are to guide us and to instruct us and to help us to ultimately live better lives and happier lives. He knows that that's the right way of doing it.
I agree.
When we do it in that, when we follow his commands because we know that he gave them to us out of love instead of feeling like we have to for him to love us, then it's not legalism anymore. That's where the two come together and mesh a little bit there. It's the love and the commands go hand in hand.
Right.
If you look at them from that.
I think it's that. I think the other thing is, the whole thing is, what are you doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is that because I've been bought with a price and because I've got a God who loves me and I want to live a life that's pleasing to him, okay, the motive behind it oftentimes is what I would classify it as, whether it's legalism or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. I'm doing it because, and again, I know I'll never be able to repay Christ for what he did for me, but I want my life to at least semi-match that, okay? That's not legalism. Legalism says, I'm doing all this, all the rules, everything else, because I'm going to earn God's favor. I'm going to make, he's going to want to shower blessings upon me because look how good I am. And that's the difference is, one is I am thankful to my parents. They raised me. They sent me to college. They sent me to school. They did all these good things for me. And so therefore, in their old age, I want to be there for them. I want to honor them. I want to do that. versus I got to go look after them because I want everybody to know that I'm a good son.
Right, right.
And, oh, look who cut your grass this week. It was me. And, you know, I want people to see just how special a boy I am. That's a big difference. And I think the motive behind it, often, because it's the same action. I'm cutting her grass either way. The action behind it or the motive behind it, I think, determines a lot of what it is.
And you can fool a lot of people with that motive. You can.
Is that your motives? Because, I mean, you got issues.
Well, but that's the way we are.
Oh, I know. I'm just,
you know, but you're right. Those issues, every last person has those issues on something. And that's, again, I think it's Jeremiah, the heart is deceptively wicked and sick beyond all things. So we all have those issues, and there are people who, you know, for putting on a show, I got to make sure I get to go to church today because it's Sunday, and man, I get to go worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. Versus, I'm going to church today because I got to make sure everybody sees me, and I want to make sure that I hold up my prim and proper reputation. And oh yes, I better teach Sunday school, and I'm a great Sunday school teacher. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I didn't have that problem because I didn't want people to see me. So I can see where you were. Yeah, I can see where you were at.
But that's you get it, and that's why. We are.
It's easy to fool other people. I think there's a lot of people.
It's easy to
fool yourself.
That's what I was going to say. There's a lot of people that are doing the right thing, yes, and you think it's for the right reason. It's way deep down that they may not even show you that it's.
And the longer you do it,
yeah,
the easier it is that it's just you don't even think about it anymore.
I'll use Ben's statement that deception is a moving target as well.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
And
I got
so
that
easy.
On the pride side. I gave you credit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's easy to fool yourself.
It'd be more money if I had for this show.
Yeah.
Use my stuff.
Yeah, see it. Yeah. That's it.
Do you pay him royalties every time he uses one of your lines?
Yeah. As soon as we get out of the
show. So, I owe you a big check.
Yeah. He's got his hand out. Wait.
Pay me. I do not have a big P on my head for patenting it.
I'll settle up later.
But it's very easy to fool yourself sometimes.
Oh,
and
my goodness, it is.
Knowing what your own motivation is for doing something is probably a big thing we need to take the time to really think through sometimes. Why am I doing this? Because I've caught myself doing that a few times where I'm doing something that I really don't want to do, and I'm thinking, well, why am I doing it? Sometimes it's because God told me to, and that's what you got to do, and you're not going to like
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you got to go through the tough stuff.
100%. But then there's other times that you're doing it because you think you should be there.
Yep.
You know, and it's Wednesday nights have been that way for me a little bit. I've not been good at coming on Wednesday nights because, daggone, I'm tired. Yeah. It's one night a week. I don't have anything going on. I don't have gymnastics. I don't have basketball. I don't have whatever. It's like the one day a week so I didn't come on because it got to the point where every time I was coming on Wednesday night, I was dreading it. And I was thinking, why am I doing it then? Because I'm not doing it for the right reason.
I mean, it's okay. You're not going to. It's not a sin, but I mean, it's okay to miss church if you have to.
Yeah.
No, there's been times it becomes.
I will caution you, it can become a habit.
Yeah.
Then you're starting to.
And it's both ways. Yeah. It's both ways. It can be that, okay, I'm going because it's just that I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Versus, hey, I'm going. We're going to open up God's Word.
Well, I'm excited.
I get to hang out with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So it is. It cuts both ways. It really does.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. Well, man, if I ain't going, I'm not wholehearted. Why bother?
Yeah. And there's been times that that God's made me go and said, no, you're going tonight, and I go, and there's a reason for it. And it's following that guidance and knowing when it's, okay, I have to finish the podcast today. Why do I have to finish it?
Right, yeah.
Does it have to be out today?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be all right? Is there something more important I need to do right now? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Depends on the day, right? I mean, there's just so many of those things that if you're not careful, you catch yourself exhausted and hateful and grumpy because you served. What was it you said this week, sir? I think it was this week. You said service is one.
Service is one of the biggest competitors to your devotion
to your relationship
with Christ.
Jesus. Yes, that was. I loved that this week. That was
the reason being is we can put service in place of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is man, look how busy I am. Well, how close are you?
There you go.
That's the question. And so service and the other thing was you can know the scriptures and still miss Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think oftentimes we replace our love for Christ with a love for service and our love for busyness. And we think, oh, okay, look what I'm doing for the Lord. And the Lord's saying, man, I don't even hardly know you.
Yeah.
That ain't for me, Jack. I don't know what you're doing, but it ain't for me.
Well, I think is you should get in the habit of going to church, but I don't feel guilty about missing anytime. But I also enjoy coming.
Yeah.
It's not that it gives me something to do, because I can find something to do. But I just enjoy the fellowship and being around people that not only believe the way I am, but act the way I am. Mm-hmm. I could go to a bar every day, and I would be fine. I would enjoy it because there are people there that believe the way I do and are acting the way I do.
Well, it's the same. I mean, total opposite side of the field here, but it's the same reason I love hanging out at Sully's Golf and Gather. I'm around people that are into golf. A guy came up to me today, and we talked for 45 minutes about golf. Just not say, I enjoy those conversations. Mm-hmm. It's something I enjoy. It's the same thing at church. I come to church because I enjoy being around people love Jesus the way I do, and you have those conversations. So there's, it's not necessarily, you know, it's not one or the other, right? It's what your Sunday. I mean, this was a rare week. I didn't start the service at 10:45 like I usually do. It was like 11:15. I was like, oh man, church has started. I need to turn on live stream, so turned it on. But I didn't do it out of some sense of obligation. It's because I enjoy hearing what you got to say.
Believe it or not. Did you fast forward?
Or did you?
When I turned it on, it was already live. So I rewound back to the beginning of your preaching.
We have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
We can always talk about Christ anytime, man. That's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. It was like I went to a wedding right after church. Went to Chapel Hill. I usually don't like to go to Chapel Hill.
Can't blame
it. Yeah, but it was on the outskirts of Chapel Hill. It was like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I had some friends that I hadn't really been close to in probably 5 years, maybe not that long. But we all had a table together, and we just had the best time. And we were there, I think I got home. I don't think it was, did I get home before dark or not? But anyway, we went there. We left the house at 1:30. We got back late. I was just enjoying it. I really didn't have to. I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
But it was just nice to be around them. And we talked. One of us, I had a conversation with one of them. We just talked about Scripture the whole time. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So
I try to take a little bit of inventory, I guess, once in a while, because, you know, I said kind of starting the show, sometimes you go through these periods where God doesn't have a lot to say, and there are times that there's two causes of that, right? There are a lot of times that you check yourself and you say, well, let's see, I haven't been reading the Bible very much. It's 4:00 and I haven't prayed yet today. Mm-hmm. I haven't really, I guess there's a reason. I
hadn't begun to seek him
yet. Yeah, I hadn't been to church in 3 weeks and I hadn't, you know, there's times that it's pretty easy to understand why maybe you hadn't heard from the Lord, right? But at the same time, there's an opposite side of it. And yeah, I experienced this back in the fall where I was going through one of those spells, hadn't heard much from God, and it was the day Gabe got baptized, the day he came up and said he wanted to get baptized.
Right.
That night, I was sitting out, I may have shared this on the show before, but I was sitting out on the balcony late at night, and God just kind of in that little subtle, gentle voice said, you know, see, I've been quiet because I've been busy answering your prayers. I might not have been talking to you because I was busy doing what you were asking me to do. You know what I mean? So there's times that God's going to tell you what he needs you to hear. Sometimes what he needs you to hear is silence. That's
right.
Part of his plan sometimes.
Trust.
Finding the faithfulness in that silence and knowing that even though he's being silent, that's because he's doing what's best for right now. And if that's silence right now, then that's staying faithful to that is a huge... it's something that I'm trying to grow in and to... To still have that trust and that faithfulness in the silence, but also checking to make sure that silence isn't because I've moved.
Yeah. What is the silence?
That's the balance you got to. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about silence. I know God's talking to you all the time. He's talking to me all the time. I'm just not listening.
And there's still times.
But I'm not talking about specific.
Yeah.
Like God, I'm not talking about like I'm seeking direction. Or should I take this job or not?
Right.
I'm not talking about that type of silence. I'm talking about just the everyday praising God, thanking him,
mm-hmm.
And him giving me the joy
I'm just not listening. Yeah. He wants me to praise him and talk to him all day long, but I'm not talking about, you know, finding the will, right, so-called will of God for your life.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean that can be silence, and that can be frustrating. Frustrating. I equated more frustration.
Yeah, I think it takes a few times probably of seeing what he was doing in those silent times to realize, to learn to trust it maybe, and be like, oh, okay, no, this is, but it is something I try to make sure that it's not something that I've, that's where you check the legalism. It's not for legalism, but it's to make sure that you haven't drifted and make sure you're working out your own salvation, so to speak, maybe, but taking your, you said Sunday, yes, it's given to you, but you still have to work in life. You know, that it's just like, it's not a free ride.
God provides it. Matthew 6 tells it that God, the Heavenly Father, provides all this food for the birds.
Yeah.
But doggone if you don't see those birds out there every morning working.
Yeah.
And I think the same goes for us. He's going to provide for us, but he still wants us to be out there, you know, not just sitting back saying, okay, feed me with the, we're not baby birds, we're grown birds.
Yeah.
And, you know, just want to encourage those seniors to be a little bit, you know, but you can work. And do you work unto the Lord? And that's the main thing. Do you work unto the Lord?
Yeah.
Don't be a workaholic. Don't be a lazy person either. It's a balance.
Yeah.
And once you find that balance, it's crucial.
Yeah. One little quick short thing, and then we can wrap up unless you get fine. I want to get out of here for your training.
You're fine. Yeah, I need to run to the restroom for the next meeting.
Totally. Just random fun, not funny, but amusing maybe. So you hear a lot of in these like atheist versus Christian debates, people will say, you know, the laws of physics never change. And I saw this on something the other day. Somebody said, you know, God's always changing. The laws of physics never change. And it was so ironic, about a day or so later, I saw something on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I clicked it, and there was a word I didn't understand, so I clicked it, and I took – anyway, end up landing on this thing of something – I don't know what it was called exactly, but it, when you started to read it, it said – the actual words, I didn't write them down, but basically it was alternate Newtonian laws, or basically it was, we have changed. There's another theory of changing the law, Isaac Newton's laws of physics, and to, because that's the only way you could explain the mass voids and other than dark matter or something like that. I'm like, that's funny, because that sure sounds like you're changing the laws of physics that you are claiming won't change. Yeah.
The laws of physics.
I just got a kick out of it. I thought it was hilarious that you know, we're the idiots for following the word of God, but you're now rewriting the laws of gravity that are supposedly mathematically stable. So I thought that was funny. Anyway.
No, I was just thinking, I just want to know, when are you leaving?
Tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6:00.
Praise train again.
This time we're going to back to Madison to watch him do his defense for his doctorate.
Gotcha.
And then help him get packed up and move to Ithaca, New York.
Nice. Well, safe travels. When are you coming back?
I'll be back Saturday. Okay. Ready to roll on Sunday.
Gotcha. Got sermon all prepped? You got a cram?
It's interesting. Right now, and I may change it, but I've got till tomorrow night when I got to get the outline to Teresa. And really, I got till Sunday morning. If I don't want to use that outline, I don't guess I'll have to. But I'm fleshing out a sermon for Father's Day, and I don't know if I'm going to call it A Tale of Two Fathers or the Comparing Two Fathers, but what I want to do is compare Abraham and Lot. And especially in Genesis 13, there's some interesting things that take place, from Lot choosing the prim property versus Abraham, and Abraham, the trust that he had. But then how Lot goes from setting his tents towards Sodom to actually living in Sodom to now he's in the gates. I mean, you see a downward trend there. Mm-hmm. And then you see the legacy of both of them.
Yeah.
One walked by faith and kept himself pure from the world, and another one, you know, was looking at Sodom, living in Sodom. And then what was his legacy is two nations that really were enemies to Israel from day one, the pagan nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And so I want to flesh that out and see if I can compare the two and try to bring it home to, all right, Dad, your choice,
yeah,
which one you're going to be, and a Lot or an Abraham. So I don't know. I mean, Lot still, I mean, you go to 2 Peter, it calls Lot a just man. So I don't know how just he was, but it does call him that. So I don't know if Peter was just stretching that or what.
Well, just be a little easy on me this week.
I will.
I'm still working on last week's message.
Yeah, here you go. 2:7 says, and if he rescued righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the perverted conduct of unscrupulous people. Okay, I don't know that. I guess he was a little righteous. I mean, he did try to rescue the visitors and everything else at the same time. Man, part of me wants to say, righteous man, you wouldn't have your family there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, go easy on me, too. I won't be
we
here.
Will.
You ain't going to be able to, like, single me out in person because you scared me 2 weeks ago. I missed this week. I'm going to miss again this week, too. I ain't giving you a chance again. But I'll be up at Mom and Dad's. And shout out to my dad. He won't hear this probably till August. But love you, Dad, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to every dad out there, and you too, too.
Amen.
Hope you have a good one.
Yeah. Who's traveling with you?
Just me and Renee.
You want peace to, out, everybody. Bye. You, we still talk.
I'll pray for them for trouble and mercies.
Oh, sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
It. All right. What are you doing it to me?
No, you go ahead. Oh, okay.
Lord, thank you for this hour. I love this. I missed it the last couple of weeks. So grateful to get a chance to chat with these two guys. They're hilarious to keep me thinking and keep me laughing. I have so much fun with it. Please watch over Ben and Renee, their travels this week, and protect them, keep them safe, keep them healthy, bring them back to us safely on Saturday, and help them to enjoy their time with their, you got to tell what's your son?
Daniel.
Time with Daniel, and help them to enjoy the time and have safe travels, have a great time, and to glorify you every step along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll pray too. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with them as you have promised, that you would guide them and that you would keep them safe, and that Daniel will be able to present what he wants to present and convey it into the audience. And we're so proud of him, and we're actually proud of Renee, his parents too. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing. And bring Ben back so you can work in that barn.
That's right. Oh, man.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I didn't do a good enough job. He had to clean mine up. Yeah.
So how's your eyes?
Well, I can't really see that well.
Really?
I can with one eye, but it hurts to keep this one open.
And you're still driving and stuff?
Yeah, but I've been driving that for, 30 years, so I really know. I can drive with my eyes closed.
Yeah, I see that.
That's a figure of speech, Ken. That's not a literal challenge.
Oh.
But I can't actually drive with my eyes closed.
Which roads do you take most frequently?
Yeah. 42 straight.
42, man. 42 right straight on down.
Stay right off.
You stay on the Fuquay side of 42, Willow Springs. I'll stay on the Duncan side. Yeah.
Play a lot. I was
open gym. Coach ain't watching.
Coach is there.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. I mean, I didn't think you the
private school different.
Even private school. I thought it was because I think they still have to play under the NCHSSA rules. But
then we'll edit that out.
But they have spring football.